Do you understand that? So they didn't go in. Now, verse 1. Therefore, let us fear, and we need to fear. That is Christian fear. Lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. This Greek word here is kataposen, which means place or abode of rest, which is the coming kingdom of God when Christ returns. This is not a special rest that God gives through a so-called dispensation of grace. Otherwise, they wouldn't have to fear. They would have already been entered into it, correct? Yes. Any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached unto them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And the gospel they received was not the same gospel that we have. The gospel they received was to enter into the promised land. That was the good news. Come out of Egypt and go to the promised land. Ours is to come out of the world and go into the kingdom of God. For we which have believed do enter into rest. When do we enter into rest? Every Sabbath. This is kataposen. As he said, as I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, meaning very clearly that even though the works were finished from the foundation of the world in the creation of time and the creation of the Sabbath, that doesn't mean that the Sabbath is now done away. That means it stands from the foundation of the world. Not done away. For he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day in this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Now we'll analyze that in just a little bit. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Then eventually they entered into the land, didn't they? Yes, the children entered into the land, but they made the mistake of making alliances with those that God said they should have killed and gotten rid of. So the rest that Joshua gave them was not complete. And the rest that David gave the people when he passed on the kingdom of Israel to Solomon, his son, was not the complete rest of the kingdom of God. That was only a type of it. Now, verse 7. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David. Now, he limited the seventh day. It just says so right up here, the seventh day. Today, after so long a time, if you will, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. What voice of God do Sunday keepers harden their heart against? Sabbath, don't they? Did God speak the Sabbath? Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy? Did God give the Sabbath as a gift to the children of Israel? Yes. Did they listen to them? We'll see. Did they listen to God when God said, don't go out on the Sabbath day to gather manna? No. Some did. So it's very important to understand these things and to understand the concept. Kataposen means to rest, to recline, to abode. Can also mean to settle. Now, we are to have rest from sin through Christ. But that is not replacing the Sabbath. That is a standing before God and has nothing to do with the day to be observed. Because if you don't observe the seventh day, you are living in sin. If you do observe Sunday, you are living in double sin. Because you are not doing what God said, and you are doing what God said not to do. Do you grasp that? I hope you do. because your understanding of the Word of God and your salvation is going to hinge on it, as we will see. Now, let's continue on here. Verse 8, for if Jesus had given them rest, now we can look at this two ways. This means Joshua, but it's the same spelling as Jesus. Okay, for if Joshua had given them rest, which he didn't do, then would he not have afterwards spoken of another day? And that is the primary meaning. You can also look at it this way. For if Jesus had not brought the kingdom of God on earth when he was here, then he would not have spoken of another day. And that day is pictured by the Sabbath. So in either case, whether it's Joshua or whether it's Jesus, you don't have a complete plan. Question, is the kingdom of God here? No. Is Christ the ruler over all the earth? No. Has Israel entered into its rest? No. Has the church entered into its rest? That is, being raised from the dead and entering into the kingdom of God and being a spirit being? No. So that is the katapazon. That is the place of rest or abode. Not here yet. Now notice, because it's not here yet, let's read verse 9. First I'll read it in the King James, and then I'll read it the way it should be translated, and then we will analyze some of the Greek words, and then we'll go to the Septuagint and see how they're used. Okay? Verse 9. There remains, therefore, rest to the people of God. Now, this is an unfortunate and very bad translation. The word rest here comes from an entirely different Greek word than the rest of the others. The rest of the rest, if we could put it that way. Okay? Rest comes from katapazon. This, in verse 9, comes from sabbatismos and means Sabbath keeping. Now, if you have a King James Version of the Bible, you might find in the margin where it says a keeping of a Sabbath, but that's not correct. It is literally Sabbath keeping. We'll see that in just a minute. For the people of God. Now, we'll go through and we'll analyze all of this. We'll answer the question, who are the people of God? Because a lot of people will say, yeah, that's for the Jews, all right. Yes, there remains Sabbath keeping for the Jews. No, the people of God are Jews and Gentiles, as we will see. Verse 10, for he that is entered into his rest, which is Sabbath keeping. This means resting from your work as God rested from his work. And this comes from the Greek word katapazō, the verb. You're resting. Has also ceased, katapazō, from his own works as God did from his. That means you cease from your own labor during the week. That also means you cease from doing your own works for your own salvation. That part is true, but this is ceasing from your own works so you can enter in to the weekly Sabbath rest. Now we'll see that in just a minute. Verse 11, let us labor, therefore. Now how do you labor? 6 days a week. To enter into that rest, keeping the Sabbath. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And that's what people do. All those who keep Sunday have fallen in unbelief because they don't believe God. Now, let's also apply this to the millennium. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. You don't rest in a dispensation of rest. To enter into rest. You see? You labor with Christian works. Labor 6 days a week and keep the Sabbath. You labor with Christian works that God has given for us to do, including the seventh-day Sabbath keeping, so that you may enter into the kingdom of God. Because you see, no one's going to enter into the kingdom of God if they're not keeping the commandments of God. Now let's go to Revelation 22 and let's clear that up and make it absolutely clear. Revelation 22, verse 14. Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed and holy, blessed rather, are they that do. The Greek there is poieo, which means practice his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. If you're not keeping the commandments of God, you won't be able to eat of the tree of life. And you won't be able to enter into the kingdom of God and enter into the city of New Jerusalem. Now you think on that. That's why we are to labor to enter into that rest weekly on the Sabbath. And we are to labor with Christian works to enter into that rest, the kingdom of God. Now notice, verse 12, for if you don't, for the word of God is quick, that means living, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, as in a discerner, that is judge, of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So that means God knows all of these silly little arguments and vain little rebellions against God. And they're not vain little rebellions. They're great, huge, gargantuan rebellions and stupid arguments of men who twist and turn, who apply the word of God carnally, who accuse God of lying, who accuse God of giving the Jewish Sabbath as punishment. Well, let's dispel all of that. Now, we're going to take a look at some of the words we need to analyze here in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, and also then we'll get into the Septuagint and see how they are applied in the Greek Old Testament and see how that word sabbatismos comes directly from the words used in the Old Testament. Now here are some words that we are going to look at. I'm going to show you the English and the Greek, and I am going to show you the meaning of them. Then we'll look at some of the scriptures in the Old Testament, in the Septuagint, see how they're used. It's called the Sabbath and the rest, and that's what we are talking about in Hebrews, the fourth chapter. The Sabbath, and it's pronounced to sabbaton, singular. The Sabbath, singular. Now here is plural. To sabbatol. Now I want you to see there's an A at the end right here. This is the definite article, the, in the Greek. And the word also ends in A here at this end. That's how we can distinguish between singular and plural. To, sabbat, or, to sabbaton and ta sabbata, the Sabbath plural. Then we have to sabbathize or to keep the Sabbath. Here's the verb. Sabbatizo. Notice that it is a takeoff of the noun, but now it is into a verb. Sabbatizo, which is the root verb. To sabbathize. Now here's another form of the verb, which is called the infinitive, which is sabbatizing. And here is another one here, which then is the imperative second person plural, which is sabbatis et. Now we'll see that very important when we come to Leviticus 23. Now let's go to the next page here and let's look at some other things. Now we have right here the word that is found in Hebrews 4, sabbatismos, which means this is a gerund equaling an ing noun, meaning Sabbath keeping. not keeping of a Sabbath, but Sabbath keeping, meaning that you apply that to all Sabbaths. Now, here is the second person singular, Sabbatese, we'll see that. Here is the aorist third person plural, which we will find in Exodus 16, right here. Yes, Sabbatizo, which then we have it here. This is the aorist. E Sabbatisen, meaning that this is past tense. And we will see that this word is used for rested back in Exodus 16. Now, the other word, the rest. The Greek is katapasis. And the way it's used, the est is changed to an N when it's used there in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, but that doesn't change it. This means rest, resting place. This is defining the noun of rest. Now, to rest, when it's used with the verb of katapaso, which is to rest, to stop. I can't read that one there. Okay. To put to an end. That's what it is. To cease, to give rest to, or give rest from, to settle, to repose. Now, all of those things have to do, and we will see where God katapas e. Okay? Now, to keep. This is the last word we're going to look at, to keep, which is phulasso. Phulasso means to keep, to observe, to watch, to guard, to preserve, to maintain, to watch over. This is the verb which is used for remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. The keep, to observe, to watch, to guard, to preserve, to maintain, to watch over. All of those things can apply to keeping the Sabbath, and that's what Israel was to do with the Sabbath. That command is much more than just observing. Now, I'm going to be reading from the English of the Septuagint, and I'll refer to the Greek here. Now, this is important to understand because we will use some of the very words that I just covered. Genesis 2, and beginning in verse 1. And God finished on the sixth day his works which he made. And that's the way it should be translated from the Hebrew. Sixth day. And he ceased on the seventh day from all his works which he made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he ceased from all his works which God began to do. Now then, let's analyze a couple of the Greek words here. The word for cease comes from the Greek word katapaso. And it is actually here that God, katapasin, he rested, he ceased from his works. So when it talks about katapasin back there in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, to enter into his rest as God entered into his. How did God enter into his rest? He entered into it by ceasing working. Same thing we are commanded to do. 6 days shall you work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord holy. So here God blessed it, and undoubtedly kept the Sabbath with Adam and Eve. So here we have the Greek word katapaso, the verb, and we also have the noun katapasin. Right there. So when Paul is writing to the Hellenistic Jews or the Greek-speaking Jews, this is the Bible that they had. This is where they would go to understand what Paul was writing about. And so there it is right there. This does not give any authority or any license to do away with any of the commandment keeping at all. Now, let's look at some others. Let's come to Exodus, the 16th chapter. Exodus 16. Okay, Exodus 16, let's pick it up beginning in verse 23. And Moses said to them, "Is this not the word which the Lord spoke? Tomorrow is the Sabbath. To sabbato." And some places in the Septuagint, they use the plural for the singular. A holy rest. Now, a holy rest then, as we look at this, a holy rest. Yes, a holy rest to the Lord. Tomorrow is the Sabbath. Yes. And that is, we don't have katapasin there. Then he says, "Bake that which you will bake, seed that which you will seed, and all that is left over to be laid up for tomorrow." And they left it till tomorrow, and as Moses commanded, it stank not, neither did it breed a worm. And Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord." And there we have it, Sabbaton. 6 days shall you gather it. On the seventh day is a Sabbath. There shall be none on that day. And it came to pass on the seventh day that some of the people went forth to gather and found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long are you unwilling to hearken to my commands and my law? See, for the Lord has given you this day as the Sabbath." Now let's understand something about the Sabbath. Not only is it a law, but it is a gift. And all the laws of God are a gift. God gave the Ten Commandments, did he not? Yes. God gave the Sabbath day. It is a gift. And whatever God gives, he gives from his grace. Now you need to grasp that and understand it. Therefore, he's given you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days, and you shall sit each one in your houses, and let no one go forth out of his place on the seventh day. And the people kept the Sabbath on the seventh day. Now, keeping the Sabbath on the seventh day here is the aorist form of sabbatizo, which is e sabbatisin. That's what it means, kept the Sabbath. Now, in the King James, it says they rested on the seventh day. But here, this means that they sabbathized. The people sabbathized on the seventh day. Now, let's go to Exodus 31. Now, we've already covered this, but I want to cover it from this point of view and show you the words that are used here and what God means with it. And here we're dealing with the plural Sabbath. Now let's come to Exodus 31 and verse 13. "Do you also charge the children of Israel, saying, take heed and keep my Sabbath?" Now this term here is philosso, which is very strong. You are to keep, you are to guard, you are to maintain, you are to preserve. They are to keep the Sabbath. In this case, plural, ta sabbata. So we have it right there. So this becomes very important. We'll see this especially when we come to Leviticus 23, because it's going to really be an eye-opener for you to understand that. "For it is a sign between me and you among you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you. In other words, you don't know the Lord if you don't keep the Sabbath, and you don't know that it is God that sanctifies you unless you do, because he's the one that did it. Now, verse 14, and you shall keep the Sabbaths, plural, all the way through. Here it is plural in the Greek. And again, philosa, you shall keep, maintain, preserve, guard, watch over. You shall keep the Sabbaths, because it is holy to the Lord for you. He that profanes it shall surely be put to death. Everyone who shall do a work on it, that soul shall be destroyed from the midst of his people. 6 days shall you do your works, but the seventh day is the Sabbath, a holy rest to the Lord. Now, the holy rest to the Lord here becomes very important. A holy rest. And that is Sabbatah, yes, anapasis. Now, there we have a type of the word katapasin, anapasis. So you see, it is a rest. So you, if you enter into his rest, you enter into keeping the Sabbath. If you enter into the ultimate rest of the kingdom of God, you enter into the kingdom of God. Now let's continue on. The children of Israel are to keep the Sabbath, to observe them throughout their generations. It is a perpetual covenant with me and the children of Israel. It is a perpetual sign with me. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, and seventh, and he, on the seventh day he ceased and rested. Ceased, katapasi, and rested. See, there we have it. Have it right there, very clear. Okay, now let's go to Leviticus 23. And here is a very profound scripture. And here is something that we need to understand concerning the Sabbath, and this ties right in with Hebrews 4 and verse 9. Because the wording here, it uses sabbatizo very clearly in the form that applies, as we saw, for the second person plural. Now, this is verse 32. Verse 32. Yes. Exodus 13 and verse 32. I'm in the wrong place. I was in chapter 22. Okay. Let's come down here to verse 32. All right, here we go. This has to do with the Day of Atonement. Okay. It shall be a holy Sabbath to you, the Day of Atonement. You shall humble your souls from the ninth day of the month, from evening to evening, shall you keep your Sabbath. Now, let's understand something very important here. From Sabbath to Sabbath is this in the Greek, sabbatis eti, which then is the verb to sabbathize, to sabbatah, which then is plural. So he's saying here, all of the Sabbath you sabbathize from what? From evening to evening. That's a little bit different than the King James Version. But it brings out something very important. That's why when Paul wrote to those who are the Hellenistic Greek-speaking Christians called Hebrews, when he used sabbatismos, they knew, because they had the Greek Old Testament, the Septuagint, that it was referring right back here to Leviticus 23:32 and the verb sabbatis eti. So when Paul says sabbatismos, there remains Sabbath keeping to the people of God. That becomes very, very clear. And so that is a, what we're finding here is this. Hebrews 4 and verse 9 is a direct commandment in the New Testament to keep the Sabbath. You cannot have any stronger language than, therefore, there remains Sabbath keeping to the people of God. That is so clear. Now, we'll analyze that a little bit more when we get back there. and understand how profound that is. But we're dealing with the Greek Old Testament, with Greek-speaking Christians, and this is what they would read. And so sabbatismos is the gerund, the noun ing word, which is Sabbath keeping, and it is a direct takeoff from Leviticus 23:32, where it's talking, where it is here, sabbatis et. Sabbatis et ta sabbata humon, meaning keeping your Sabbath.